For the rest of us, if you'll turn with me to Nehemiah 6, we're going to read verses 15 through 19 of Nehemiah 6 from the Word of God. This will conclude the five-part series. This is part five of the series on deception we've been doing. Nehemiah 6, verses 15 through 19. Begin to read in verse 15. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Also, in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Perah, and his son Johanan had married the daughter of Meshullam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and then telling him what I said, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that again today, Lord, you would unfold your word today as we unpack it and we look at what you've given us in this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you ordained for this morning, not a word more, a word less, and all to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So in our series on deception so far, we have covered compromise. We've covered slander, we've covered threats as tools of the enemy. In this, the final message in this series, we are going to look at the deception of intrigue. Intrigue in this instance meaning plotting and scheming underhandedly. All right? I'll repeat that. Intrigue in this instance means plotting and scheming underhandedly. What they're saying is they'll never give up. All right, so we look at this all these years ago. We've been going through this, taking it section by section. And by the end of today, we will have covered the whole chapter of Nehemiah 6 in this series on deception. And we have, I hope you have, I've tried to bring it around for not just a history lesson, but bring it around so that we see it happening rapidly in the world we're living in, and to narrow it down further in our own nation. The deception is horrendous that is taking place in our nation. So, the completion of the walls in troubled times was an embarrassment to the enemy. I can't leave it alone. No matter how I try, I can't leave it alone. How wild is it that the wall was a big issue here in this passage? Our wall on the southern border of our nation is a really big deal too. And there's been a whole lot of deception going on. You mark my words, the wall will be built. All right? And there will be some deporting going on. Probably a lot of it. Mark my words, it's coming. God is not going to allow the enemy to win this battle. And I thank him for that, because The deception is so bad, it's entrenched in people so badly in our nation, such a huge percentage of the people, that if God did not intervene and bring revival and awakening in this nation, it's too far gone to ever come back. In the natural, it's too far gone. All right? When we're reading that passage of Scripture, we might as well have said emails. Tobiah's sending emails, and they're sending emails back to Tobiah. Got people in the ranks that are dirty rhinos. Somebody know what I'm talking about when I use that terminology? Nehemiah had to deal with rhinos too. People that were supposed to be on his team, but they were rhinos. They were operating in deception. So in this, back to Nehemiah, the completion of the wall was an embarrassment to the enemy, but they didn't give up. You know, Satan never, ever gives up. Okay? He's too full of pride to admit he's whipped. And people that are under the control of Satan possess that same spirit. They will never admit they're wrong. They'll never give up. But here's the good news. God don't give up either. And our God wins. And those who are in Christ are winners as well. So that's the good news. All right? Satan is not a quitter, but he stays on the field even after it looks like he has lost the battle. Many careless Christians have won the war, but afterward lost the victory. Do you understand what we're saying there? We all too often, as believers, rejoice in a war that we've won, but start celebrating too soon and stop the prayers and the very things that have given us the victory. Am I making sense? You want an example? We had a victory in the high court with abortion. We had a victory doing away with abortion as the law of the land, and it got pushed back to the states. Too many people have given up the fervent prayers because we still need it conquered at the state level. All right? Now that's one example. I could spend the rest of our time together and beyond until you fell out the window like happened in the Bible. There's just so much that, you know, that could be said. But I think one example will suffice for the point I'm trying to make. Satan is always looking for an opportune time. A time to attack the victors and turn them into victims. Satan loves to attack the victors and turn them into victims. Because too many people, when they celebrate, when they have realized a victory, are celebrating the victory and abandoning the very things that brought the victory. We need to learn to live disciplined lives, operate with an attitude of praise and in prayer in all things. We've talked about that, so if you've been here, you know what I mean by that. Let's be as watchful after the victory as before the battle. We need to be as watchful after the victory as before the battle. Guys, whether you realize it or not, we are in a war for the very soul of America. We're in a war for that. Let that sink in for a minute. Because if America, the United States of America, would be brought down, there's not another one. This is it. There's not another one to go to. We hear so many things, and our kids, unfortunately, that are going to the public school system are more and more in our public school systems in this nation, being filled full of deception, being told that this nation is a horrible nation, that it's full of a whole bunch of racists, that it's full of this, that it's full of that. And this propaganda is being force-fed into the children of the people in the public school systems in our nation. It's been happening for years, but it's getting worse. Now the schools want to be able to physically alter your children. And if you have anything to say about it, you go to jail. That's where we're at. When does the Christian community dig their heels in and say, all right, that's it, no more. No more. We're going to walk this back. We're not just going to stop it here. We're going to walk it back in the power of the Lord's might. If you can't see Satan working, it's probably because he has gone underground. Now that's true sometimes, but I want to tell you something. The world we're living in right now, Satan's not hiding anything anymore. Why? Because he feels he's won. That pride. Pride goes before the fall, right? Actually, we are safer when we can see him at work than when he's working. His workings are concealed. Open opposition is good for God's work and God's workers because it keeps us alert and trusting the Lord. Remember, we're supposed to watch and pray. Guys, those of you who have been around, been in this church for quite a while, how long have I been encouraging you to stand up and speak up? Stand up and speak up. Raise your hand if I'm telling you. I'm going to tell them the truth, isn't it? Stand up and speak up. Stand up and speak up. It's time God's people use what he's given them. It's time that we speak up. Yes, it may divide families. But when is God and his plan more important to us than our family? See, the Word of God says that's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm not saying this is easy. But it's time we stand up and speak up for what's right. It gets quiet when I preach messages like this. You can almost hear a pin drop in here. So watch and pray was clearly one of Nehemiah's chief encouragements to his people. It seems incredible that any Jew would secretly cooperate with the enemy, let alone Jews who were nobles from the royal tribe of Judah. If any tribe had a stake in the future of the city of David, it was the tribe of Judah. God had promised that a savior and king would come from their tribe. When these nobles cooperated with Tobiah, they were resisting the Lord, disobeying the word, and jeopardizing their own future. Does that sound familiar today as well? Isn't it something? What has been will be again. We're living in it, guys. We're living in it. Why would they do such a treacherous thing? For one thing, Tobiah wrote them letters and influenced their thinking. Propaganda. 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 We are living in a day where there is propaganda everywhere. You can't turn on the television and watch the news without being filled full of propaganda. You're getting very, very minute amount of truth when we look at that. It's gotten so bad, I don't even trust the weatherman anymore. They most of the time don't get it right. Need to put their computer models away and do it the old-fashioned way. So instead of seeking the truth, the nobles believed the enemy's lies. It's where we're at today, and became traitors to their own people. It's where we're at today because they believed he was right. Some of the men of Judah even took an oath of loyalty to Tobiah. How messed up is this? In his letters, Tobiah no doubt flattered them and made promises to them, and they foolishly believed him. The nobles secretly shared the letters with others, and thus the conspiracy grew. Don't believe everything you read or hear about Christian leaders either. Now, I tell you what, there have been enough Christian leaders, big name people, and on down, that have made poor decisions that have completely been catastrophic in the body of Christ. But the enemy loves to bash God's people, and especially his pastors and preachers. So be careful what we believe. Be careful what we spread. Be wary of what the news media say about evangelical leaders. Many people are guilty of many kinds of misrepresentation, including some militant publications that have forgotten how to speak. There are times to speak in love. There are times when you wonder if we have reached the sad place that Jeremiah wrote about in Jeremiah 9 and verse 4. It says, "Beware of your friends. Do not trust your brothers, for every brother is a deceiver and every friend a slanderer." Now, I use that verse as an example of where we're at today because of all the deception. I didn't use that to turn you all into a bunch of paranoid freaks. All right? I want to clarify. We don't want to walk in paranoia, but we do want to be discerning. It takes wisdom to discern, you know, I'm not real sure I trust this person yet. I probably better just keep some of this stuff to myself. You understand what I'm saying? It takes wisdom. How could these Jews turn their backs on their own heritage, their own brothers and sisters, and their own God? The bonds of human connection were stronger than the bonds of spiritual affection. Because Tobiah was tied to the tribe of Judah through marriage, the nobles of Judah have given the loyalty to him that they should have given to God. The men of Judah forgot that they were married to Jehovah God and owed him their love and loyalty. Guys, this is a point that needs to be drove home. Are we dating Jesus? As the bride of Christ, you realize if you're part of God's kingdom, you are part of the bride of Christ. Are we dating him? Because he's not looking for a date. He's looking for a bride. So, it's really, really important that we keep him at the forefront. of everything. Before we criticize the Jewish nobles, let's examine our own lives for a moment. Are we totally yielded to the Lord and fully obedient to Him? Do we ever permit human relationships to influence our decisions so much that we deliberately disobey the Word of God? Can I get real? This is a big deal. God so that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife in marriage. He didn't say that you leave your father and mother and go shack up. See, not many preachers want to bring that up anymore because it brings conviction, might even make somebody mad. But I'm saying this for your own good because I love people enough to tell them the truth. You will never, ever, ever get God's best shacking up and going from one to the next, to the next, to the next. Again, it's quiet in here. Again, I say that out of a spirit of love for you. I want to see you all get God's best. I really do. I want God's best for you. And we never get God's best when we choose to walk in habitual sin. We'll just never get His best that way. Do we ever permit human relationships to influence our decisions and disobey the Word of God? Now, I brought one out there. I could have went on for a while, but that clock will not slow down for me. So I got to keep moving. Maybe some of you are thankful. Yeah, get some move off of that. In 25 years of pastoral ministry, I have seen more than one professed Christian leave a church fellowship because of something that was done to a relative in the church or something happened between them and someone else. You want the honest truth? As I just said, I've been pastoring now for 25 years. I'm not a newbie anymore. I've seen a lot of things in those 25 years. I cringe when I see people start dating with each other within the church. I cringe. Well, Pastor, you ought to be excited because Christians are dating Christians. Yeah. But you know what usually happens? And when I say usually, I'm talking like 90% of the time. When that relationship breaks up, one or both of them end up out of the church. And many, many times don't end up in another church. End up hurt and floundering. That grieves me. So now I ask you, how many of you understand now why I said I cringe when I see a couple of people in the church start dating? Because I've seen this over the years, over and over and over again. Especially when they start operating according to feelings instead of the Word of God. I'll leave that where it lay. Commodore Josiah Tatnall is an almost forgotten name in American naval history. During the anti-European uprisings in China in 1859, Tatnall came to the aid of a British squadron in the Pyho River and was criticized for it. In his dispatch to the U.S. Secretary of Navy, his defense was simply, blood is thicker than water. That was his defense. Blood is thicker than water. That familiar statement was recorded by John Ray in his English Proverbs, published in 1670. So it's been around for a long time. The meaning is obvious. Humanly speaking, you have greater obligation to a relative than you do to a stranger. But Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." See, that's what the Word of God says. The blood bond that unites us to Christ is the strongest bond of all, and our loyalty to Him must come first. This kind of message don't sell CDs. That's okay. We've never charged for a CD in the 21 years we've been in church. But I'm just saying. Not popular. Well, guys, God didn't call me out of my shop bending wrenches for a living to be popular. He called me to preach His Word, and I promised Him I would. Amen. Well, I stand here doing that today, not because I'm any better than any of you, because I'm not, but because God has called me to preach the standard. That's the only reason. Nobles of Judah weren't satisfied just to get their information and directions from Tobiah. But they felt it necessary to tell Tobiah everything Nehemiah said. The gossip train! Man, can you relate this stuff to today or what? I mean, it's just blatant to me. If you think about it, people haven't really changed all that much in thousands of years. Right? I mean, really, it's pretty obvious when we get digging into it. No doubt they were hoping to win Tobiah's favor and thus earn a greater reward when Tobiah and his friends took over Jerusalem. There it is again. In every sense, they were traitors to the nation and to the Lord. Meshullam was one of the workers on the wall, and yet his family was undermining the very work he was doing. Sometimes, we, in following God, at least for a season, have to leave family behind, because they won't come, they refuse to come along on what the path that God has. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is not easy, but it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. God be first. Amen. These traitors went even further. They repeatedly told Nehemiah what a fine man Tobiah really was. Oh, help me, Lord. I could really draw some examples from today, but I'm just going to move on. If you guys are up to speed with today, you know exactly what's whirling in my mind. says in Proverbs 28 and verse 4, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law resist them." Boy, oh boy, you're going to want to jot that one down. Proverbs 28, verse 4. I'm going to say it again. "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law resist them." I can't help myself. This movement to do away with police is kindling up again. That was very rampant 4 years ago in 2020. How many of you remember? It's absolutely crazy to think you can take the police out of the culture and everything's going to be all right. It's total chaos. But that thing is cropping up again, right now. All right? God, I look at what's transpired, and He is way more patient than I think we understand. But when His patience comes to an end, I also think He is way more just than we understand. See, it goes both ways. He's long-suffering because He loves His people. And He doesn't want to destroy His people. But we have proof as we look throughout the Word of God that when He's had enough, He will destroy them. "They that forsake the law praise the wicked." Why do you think that certain powers that be that are on the far left have wanted the Ten Commandments out of school, out of our courthouses, out of every area of life if possible? They want the law. And like it or not, the Ten Commandments should be the foundation for all law. That's the way God designed it. The deception is, oh, we don't need that. We've evolved. Oh, yeah, we've evolved all right. That's not working out so well. My goodness. So had the nobles of Judah been studying and meditating on the Word of God, they would have had discernment and not been walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1:1 talks about not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. They were blinded by lies and flattery and completely out of touch with reality. That sound familiar? There was no light in them. Isaiah 8 verse 20 talks about that light that I'm speaking of. Again, Isaiah 8 verse 20. "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to His word, they have no light of dawn." Did you hear it? Have no light. God is light. When we are full of God, His light shines through us. Last week I mentioned, yeah, because we're crackpots. We're all made from clay. We're all crackpots, but when we're full of God, then that light shines through those cracks. But when there is no God in a person's life, there is no light, there is only darkness. Because darkness really has no power at all. All darkness is the absence of light. So is the situation much different in churches today or in our nation? It alarms me the way professed Christians who claim to be Bible taught give their endorsement and support to people who are nothing but religious hucksters. We're living in a day where it's popular for politicians to say they have a religious side. But Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. And when you look at the fruit, it's rotten from the roots up. You would think that the recent media scandals would wake people up, but it's not really the case. A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land, it says in Jeremiah 5, verse 30 and 31. The prophets prophesy lies. That's what's happening today. The priests rule by their own authority. That's what's happening today. And the people love it this way. That's what's happening today. People want to have it their own way. And God said, no, it's either my way or the highway. And when I'm talking about the highway, I'm talking about the wide road that leads to destruction. We're facing a day of reckoning. Then what? Tobiah kept sending letters to his informers, and they in turn, let me change that a little. Tobiah kept sending emails to his informers, and they in turn kept sending emails back to him to change their allegiance before Jerusalem was taken by the Gentiles. Nehemiah ignored the emails and threats and kept on working until the job was completed. After all, his work was done by our God. And when God begins a work, he completes it. Philippians 1:6 makes that abundantly clear to us. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you. When did that begin? When you were born again. Where were you at? What were you doing? How long ago was it that you were born again? And what have you done with that? You allowed yourself to be deceived through the deceptive practices of propaganda? Or have you kept your eyes, like the Word says, on the author and perfecter of our faith? See, if we keep our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, we will not fall to deception. So when you start operating that way and you're full of God, you get this, the conviction of the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm talking about? I've said this many times, preaching over the years. One thing I know for sure. Once we are born again, God has ruined us from ever being good sinners again. Because we get conviction from the inside. Thank God for that. Doesn't mean we're all of a sudden perfect. For all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 goes on to say, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, what we deserve is death because of our sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the gift we enjoy. So, we're winding up this series now. This was never intended to be an exhaustive series on deception. I could preach the rest of my life on deception because the enemy works so many different ways. But this has been a five-part series that's been taken from the experience in Nehemiah that he had in chapter 6. And I trust you've learned a lot about how the enemy works from looking at what happened to Nehemiah and then looking into our world and maybe into our own lives and recognizing, man, we've got to make some adjustments. We've got to make some adjustments in our life. We need to make some adjustments in our nation. Well, how in the world do we do that? One person at a time. One person at a time. Intrigue, plotting, scheming, underhandedly. We see it everywhere. The good news is, when we pray, when we seek after God with all our heart, He moves. So it's not hopeless. I'm hopeful. But it's going to take a lot of people waking up to the reality of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. I made it out of time. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.